I have a 10 by 10 inch square on the counter that's mine, and that's all. I may not use, yeah. I'm limited to that. I may not use any other space on the counter. That's it. I have my little, square. And I get in trouble if I put stuff anywhere else, but I've got my little square, and she lets me put whatever I want in my little square.
Yes, and I bet things don't get lost, right? Or as much, well, maybe yeah. not lost as much.
I wouldn't go that far, Carrie, but yeah. The business of sales is sometimes harder than actually making the sale in the first place. See, you're not only a professional salesperson, you're a business owner. But the focus always seems to be on sales. Well, we're here to help you. I've been in the sales world and training sales professionals for over 4 decades. My name's Morris Sims. I've seen some great salespeople fail because they didn't run their business very well. Well, we're going to share success concepts and interview some great entrepreneurs who are going to help you in your business. Welcome to the Business of Sales. Of sales, our guest is Carrie Thomas, and Carrie is organized. I just want you to know that at the outset, Carrie is organized, and she's going to tell us how we can also get organized and begin to be more effective and efficient in what we do. Carrie, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
So tell me a little bit about your journey. How do you get to the point where you're working with people about organization and effectiveness?
Good question. So my background is in education. I have my bachelor's and master's in special education, worked for a while, loved every second of it, then stayed home for a while with my children. And then when I was ready to reenter the workforce, we had moved and I wasn't certified in that state any longer. And I had a friend who had become a professional organizer. And I thought, wait a minute, I can do this. That is like made for me. And so I started my first company in 2007 doing what most people think of with organizing, like a lot of residential and closets and garages and that type of thing. And then it evolved over time. I quickly figured out that I was very good at the business side of things, paper and files and digital. And I loved the processes and the systems and kind of geeked out on it. So I got certified in 2014 to work with companies. And so I then started down that track and was very happily doing that and meeting the coolest business owners and executives. And then in 2017, I did a TED Talk, which I thought was just bucket list. Like my mom will watch, right?
Oh, yeah. And then, I'm jealous now.
And, but that wasn't what happened. And it changed my trajectory again, because in my talk, I talk about how our clutter is not just stuff, but we have mental clutter and emotional clutter and what to do about it. And so people from all over the world, literally, were contacting me saying, I want you to be my coach. And I said, I'm not a coach. I don't think I'm a coach. And so I quickly figured out I need to shift a little bit again and learn about this coaching thing. And so now I do both. I have my business, corporate clients, and I run a group that's a 3-month group for women where we dive into the internal stuff. But because of my journey, even my corporate clients, they can't escape the internal clutter conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
We go as deeply into it as they're willing to go, but it's a part of me and what I do now for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. And isn't it wonderful to get to do what you love?
Oh, it is. It truly, truly is.
And that's part of the fun about being an entrepreneur. You get to choose who you do business with, and you get to do what you really love to do. And I hope that's what most of our listeners are doing as well. And they're also trying to get organized. Carrie, I mean, where do you start with somebody that's maybe a professional salesperson? I kind of believe that a lot of our listeners are from the financial services world, insurance and those kind of things and investments and things. But mainly they're small business owners. They're running their own business. They may or may not have a staff. And yeah, where do you begin? Where do you start this process?
Yeah. That's the hardest part, right? That overwhelmed feeling like, what do I do? I don't know, you know, or I've tried things in the past and they've all failed. So why try again? Yep. That kind of thing. So the where to start is I look at it a little bit differently because of my education background. One of the first things I do is I look at, I'd have people take a short quiz and find out what their learning style is. So are they visual? Are they auditory? Are they kinesthetic? Those are the three main ones. And I have a quiz, but people can, you can just Google it online. Like, what is my learning style? And it matters because it matters how you set things up. For example, like a visual person needs a lot of really good light. Auditory people can do more with voice reminders, stuff like that. So I look at that first of all. And then I do a pre-assessment, like a productivity score. And so that's the first thing I do is I start with assessing just because I have that education background. So even if someone's doing this on their own, I would say, just ask yourself those questions. Like, what is my natural organizing style? Do I like things put away or do I need to see them out? So even if you're doing this on your own, start with a little introspection. Like, what do I think would naturally work for me, like with my strengths and not against it? Because people, they think like, well, my boss has this XYZ filing system, and so that's what I should use. But you know, if that's not how you work, then so that would be step one, is really ask yourself what comes naturally, like what's your natural organizing style. And then step two is the structure of the workspace. So whether that's an office, whether you're working from home and you keep things in a closet and pull them out to your dining room table, like whatever that is, you have to look at the structure. And I use what's called the Magic Six. And this came from my certification program with the Productive Environment Institute. And some of them seem, I don't know, they seem simplistic, right? Like, oh, people just want to skip over it. Like, that's not important. But think of it as the skeleton, like, you know, that holds everything else up. And so just super quickly, like a brief overview, what you need, for, like bottom line, you need a place, you need an inbox, you need someplace, you know, think of an old fashioned, like inbox, outbox, and then a place to put your filing. And this could be, it doesn't have to be a box. It could be, you know, a tray or something on the wall or whatever, but just think of the flow. So like when things come into your office, like, or your house, where do we put the mail? Do we have even a designated spot on the counter? I would consider a rudimentary inbox, like, because everyone knows, okay, this is where it goes. This is where stuff goes that hasn't been processed. So,
my friends, thank you again for listening to The Business of Sales. We appreciate you. Hey, a quick bit of news for you just to get started today. Our friend and mentor, Dr. Randy Marshall. Well, Randy has taught many of us in the world of sales over the years. He makes no apology for his faith and his Christianity. He is in Poland right now, helping with the refugees and providing aid to the Ukrainians. Randy has taught there for several years to help build leaders to plant churches in that country. Now he works to help get them medicine and clothes and food and, even bulletproof vests. So please pray for Randy and his mission and his safe travels on all his many trips back and forth. And if you're moved to help support this work, go to a website. It's tccp.pro. That's the Center for Church Planters. tccp.pro, P-R-O. And share your treasure to help a people who are truly in need of physical and spiritual support at this time. Carla and I have been blessed, and we've given to this organization because I know every penny is going to go to help a family in Ukraine and to spread the gospel. You know, our Lord taught us, as often as you've done this for one of my least brothers, you did it for me. Thank you for your support, and thank you so much for listening to The Business of Sales. Hey, let's get back to the show. I have a 10 by 10 inch square on the counter that's mine, and that's all. I may not use, I'm limited to that. I may not use any other space on the counter. That's it. I have my little square. And I get in trouble if I put stuff anywhere else, but I've got my little square, and she lets me put whatever I want in my little square.
Yes, and I bet things don't get lost, right? Or as much, well, maybe yeah. not lost as much.
I wouldn't go that far, Carrie, but yeah.
So that would be the first thing for the structure, like a place for stuff when it comes in, a place for stuff that has to go somewhere else, and then a place to put your filing before you file it, because we're not all robots and we don't file things right as we get them. Now, there's not as much paper filing these days. Most people have gone a lot more digital, but you still need somewhere to put things until you get a chance to put them away. And then the second one, this one sounds silly, like I said, but people, you'd be surprised how many offices I've been in and we start sorting paper and people are throwing on the ground. I'm like, what are you doing? And you say, oh, the trash can's down the hallway. So just please, people, have a trash can. And if you recycle or shred, you know, like have those receptacles somewhere right where you sit so you don't have to, you know, make a big production to throw stuff away.
Yeah.
The third one is calendar system. So I take a long, that's a big one these days. I take a long, hard look at how people are using their calendar and their planner. And so, you know, whether it's paper, digital, combo, whatever it is, we spend a lot of time looking at the effectiveness of that. So, to answer the one most popular question, no, there's not one best system. There's not.
Well, there are plenty of them out there to choose from. I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
Choose one, stick with it for a while, really try it out. If something works for you currently and you aren't missing appointments, don't feel the need to change just because your best friend has, you know, some new fancy thing. Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
there is no one best. The best calendar and planner is the one that helps you do everything when you're supposed to do it with no stress. And if you already have that and it's, you know, a beat up paper planner in your purse, then stick with it. So that's number three.
Out of 130 to 150, I don't know how many we got now, but about 130 podcasts, you'd be surprised how many people I've talked to say, and I published a planner for everybody. If you use my planner, and it's I use this kind of planner and I've tried everything under the shade. This is what everybody ought to do. It's kind of like, you know, personal preference here. What kind of car do you drive? Everybody's not going to drive a Volkswagen. It's just not going to happen.
It is. I'm a huge believer in do what works for you.
Yeah.
There's not a trophy. Well, there's not a trophy that I know of for, you know, for like office organization, but there is the relaxation and the confidence and all of those things that come with an efficient workspace. And that's your goal. You're not trying to show it off or, and I, you know, more power to the people that create planners. I've often said, I want to create the perfect one for me, but I think I have for me. It's not something I would ever market because people would be like, no, you're a little weird. But
me too. You know?
So do what works for you. And then number four is you have to think about your contact management. So some professionals, depending upon the industry, they have a pretty robust CRM and they, you know, they have their contacts plus their sales funnel and, you know, all of those autoresponder emails, all those things. Some people simply just need a list of contacts and phone numbers or a list of leads and whatever that looks like. So that's number four. And I spend, depending upon the client, a good chunk of time there also. So just making sure that you have a good system for keeping track of contacts and leads. So that's number four. And then number five would be the two types of files. And when I say file, I don't necessarily mean a manila file folder in a drawer. It can be, but I, like I said, truly believe in being flexible and doing what works. So some people don't like files. They use binders or they use clipboards or they use, you know, whatever that looks like. So the two types, you need your action files. So these are like projects and you need those where you can easily access them and you can group them by type, by client, by date, you know, but there's a lot of different ways to group them, but that's number one. And then, or the first type. And then the second type is your reference files. And your reference files are the things that you need to keep, but you don't need to look at. a lot. And so that would be, you know, the typical, what you think of, like insurance documents and things like that, that you put away. So I look at those six things first, like the core structure, because then once you have those in place, anything that comes into your office or into your home, or, and you can also extrapolate this out in these same six things, think of how they work in your digital world as well. But anything that comes into your world, whether it's through email or through paper mail or someone giving you something, if you have those six things in place, you'll be able to process everything that comes into your world and know how to handle it. So that's where I start. I spend a lot of time putting in that, those bones, so to speak, of an office structure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a system, it's a flow, and it mm-hmm. works. It, frankly, Carrie, it sounds a lot like what David Allen teaches. I've read all of his books and stuff and tried to put his stuff into play, and it just got a little too cumbersome for me, but this sounds a little bit easier and more simple, but still similar.
Yeah. I'm chuckling because I almost feel like I fed you that line, because I love David Allen. I've also read and, you know, done a lot of his things, but there are people that, especially in my certification program, we chuckle because we feel that we get a lot of David Allen dropouts, as we call
them. Oh, I bet. Yeah.
People who like that sort of structure, and I want to know where everything goes. I want to know, but they want it more adaptable to their style, and they want it a little, you know, like you said, I love that word, cumbersome. Yeah. And so he's brilliant. I love him. I work with, my specialty is people with ADD and ADHD. And so that they just need a little more flexibility than what.
Well, now with experience in special education, I can see where that fits perfectly.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah.
My wife is also a special education teacher, so I've been around with that for all my life as well. It just, again, gives you a great idea of how to help folks that have that particular challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people just want, they just want it to be easy. They just want, you know, they just want to be able to, you know, one of my mentors, Barbara Hemphill, she always says, like, people want to be able to accomplish their work and enjoy their life. It's really that simple. And so what systems can we put in place to help that happen, to not spend as much time going through your email? And
To make it an easy button. Mm-hmm. Staples, that whoever came up with that should have been paid a bonus. But we need an easy button for this. I've got a client who's a travel advisory group, and they you know, we're your easy button when it comes to travel. Well, I need an easy button for getting organized, and it sounds like you got one.
Yeah, when I go into my clients and I say, we are going to adapt this and make sure it works for you, but I want you to trust me in the beginning as mm-hmm. we start this, and we're going to put these things in place. If something really doesn't work, we'll tweak it. But 9 times out of 10, it doesn't take that much tweaking at all, and the system really works.
Oh, that's cool. That is really, really cool. Hey, I got a question for you. What's your favorite destination for a few relaxing days to unwind and recharge your batteries, or your favorite place to take the family for some big fun? Find that picture in your mind. Go on, do it now. Have you got it? Well, now think about all the planning and the booking and the flights and the reservations and all the rest of those other pesky details that you have to go through just to get to that beautiful picture in your mind. Now, what if somebody took all those details and made it easy? Make it easy for you to get there and do what you want to do. Well, that's what our friends at Small World Big Fun can do for you. They make travel easy. All you got to do is show up and have fun. The great people at Small World Big Fun are going to handle all the details that you want them to handle. You want to go to Disney? Hey, they know all the secrets. River cruises in Europe, Cancun beach trips, Belize maybe, cruise Alaska, or cruise anywhere. You name it, and Small World Big Fun can plan it and make it happen for you. Really, I've been using Small World Big Fun for years, and frankly, so has the rest of our family. We just show up and have fun. Cindy Miner and her 42 other great agents are going to make it easy on you to show up and enjoy life. So go to smallworldbigfun.com or call Small World at 501-831-5211. That's 501-831-5211. Call them now and get started planning for your next trip to that absolutely beautiful picture that you saw back when this conversation began. You know, I can see it now. The white sandy beaches of the Redneck Riviera all along the Gulf of Mexico, and it's calling me. Golly gee, can you hear the waves? Yeah, I can smell the ruby red Gulf shrimp on the grill. Redfish fresh from the boat for dinner and, oh. Hey, Carla, bring me a drink, would you? And adjust the umbrella. The sun's in my eyes again.
I look around my office here and I've got a pile of books over there on the floor. I've got a pile of books behind me on my credenza. My desk is covered in notes because it's a big white wall desk. And what do you do with all the clutter?
That's a really good question. So first, like if I pretend right now that you were my client, I would say you mentioned all those things. Do those things bother you? Because sometimes people feel that their office should look a certain way, but it really doesn't bother them. So that's what I would ask. Like, so like, does that pile of books bother you? And do all the notes bother you? And do you spend time searching?
So it's a question of what I want versus what I think everybody else wants me to do.
Yes. Yeah. So let's do one of those really bother you, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I know why it's the way it is today, but I wouldn't want it to be this way forever.
Okay. So let's say like the notes all over the desk. Is that?
It's something I got to clean up eventually because they get wiped off if I don't do something about it. So what I try to do is take a picture of them. Then remembering to go back and look at that picture is another whole problem. But I'll usually take a picture and then erase the desk.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. That works because you're writing on it with the whiteboard. So the rule of thumb, let's say you walk into your office, you know, let's say you go in there this Saturday and you're like, you know what, I have 2 hours and I'm going to really get this place spruced up so that I feel more comfortable in here.
Yeah.
So the rule of thumb is to just gather all the papers together that seem random, right? Or just start in one corner. And I'm sure you've heard the old adage, like touch everything once. And so you want to do that as much as possible. So, you know, sometimes it's not totally possible, but let's say you pick the first piece of paper up and you want to ask yourself, just make it super simple. And so think of trimming the fat, F-A-T, file, act, toss. So you pick up the first piece of paper and you say, okay, does this need to be filed? Is it something I don't have to do anything with right now, but I also don't want to throw it away?
Well, now, how do you make that decision, Carrie? Now, let's stop there for just a second.
Yeah.
Because I have seen other people, and I've been there myself, where everything I touch, I think, well, you know, one of these days I might like to have that, so I'm going to keep that. I've got a son-in-law that everything he's going to keep. I'm kidding. But anyway, we all have things we want to keep. How do you determine what's really important to keep and what's not?
So you can ask yourself a couple questions. One of them is this difficult to obtain again? Is there a copy, like, can I find it on the internet? Is there a copy on my work server? Do I have a paper and a digital copy? The best example for that I always give is think of, let's say you have a manual for your dishwasher and those get bulky. I mean, people have so much space taken up with just all their different manuals.
Oh, yeah.
But if you do a quick search and establish that, oh, well, they have all the manuals online, or, you know, all this information is online, then you can toss it because it's not difficult to obtain again. So that's one. A lot of people keep things just because they've always had them, but they're very outdated. So ask yourself if it's even recent enough to be useful or, you know, applicable anymore. So is it, you know, too old? Obviously, if there's tax or legal implications, go ahead and keep it, even if you're not sure. Mm-hmm. Some people have things and they don't even really know the specific use for it. So again, ask yourself, am I just used to having this paper, or is it really going to do something for me? And then when all else fails, mm-hmm. ask yourself, what's the worst thing that would happen if I threw this out? And then sit with that for a minute.
Yeah.
And if absolutely nothing comes to you, then you can feel pretty confident in letting it go. A lot of things that we sort through, they're not, well, that's the second part. So you ask yourself, mm-hmm. am I going to file it? And if so, you know, eventually you'll separate it out into those reference and action files that I said. Some of them will just be the long-term archive. Some of them will be projects. Oh, I need this for this client, or, you know, so those will be your action files. The second category is a file act toss is, do I need to act on this? Is the ball in my court? Is this a to-do item? Do I have to pay this bill, call this person, fill mm-hmm. this form out? So that would be your second pile. So you would just say, okay, well, these are the file things. These are my to-dos. And then all the rest, honestly, is toss. So file, act, toss. So that's the fastest way I'm sort of a nerd when it comes to paper, but I can sort boxes of paper using that system in such a short time. And even if I'm not sure, like I can go into your office and with just a simple set of guidelines, like you say, okay, well, I want to keep all my statements from this year forward, or I want to, you know, if you set certain guidelines in place, you can really, really sort quickly if you don't stop and agonize over each piece of paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then then you've got your file pile, but then the pile that bothers everybody after that initial sort. So let's say you've cleaned up every piece of paper in your office and now they're just in your file pile and your to-do pile. All the rest went in the trash. The to-do pile is now where everybody's stressed because they're like, oh, that's really big. why is that like 2 inches thick? Oh my gosh. And so, I tell people, don't worry about the file stuff, like then address the to-do. So once you look at your to-do pile, you can then do a second sort by like critical, you know, this needs to be done immediately, mm-hmm. going to lose money, lose a client, lose my house, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, big stuff. It
really makes someone angry. And then the rest are more like, well, I have to do this, but it's not that time sensitive. And that second sort gives people usually some more peace of mind. You can sort it according to whatever system you use. So mm-hmm. if you have files by date that you do things, or if you have a bill pay file, you know, then you can sort it into your own system. Yeah. And if people aren't sure how to do that, then I help them with that. But that's the fastest way, because you can walk in your office and have everything sorted and a good idea of what needs to be filed and what needs to be done, even in the messiest office, which is within a few hours.
That's amazing. I hadn't thought of this in a long time, but I've got a file drawer right over there. I'm looking at it, I'm pointing at it, Carrie. Can you see me? I'm pointing at it. It's right over there. And it's full of files. I mean, it's so full, I can't force another file folder in that drawer. But I can't remember the last time I went in there and found something I needed.
Right.
You know, I mean, that whole drawer could probably be either tossed or put in a box somewhere and stuck in an attic, and the next people that buy this house would find it. I mean, you know, it's one of those things.
That's my worst nightmare. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, last question, and I'll get out. We'll move on here. But you mentioned ADD and ADHD, and that, I think, mm-hmm. is becoming more prevalent, more recognized or actually occurring more than it ever has in the past. Where do you begin with somebody like that? I mean, you know, when it's wow. And I get that way myself so often, where I'm working on something, all of a sudden, look at that pretty butterfly. Let's go chase that one. Mm-hmm. And then I never get back to what I was originally trying to do. What do you do to help folks who have that kind of a challenge?
Well, one of the things you actually said this word earlier, and without realizing it, is after I put this structure in place with them, we work on the flow. And you said that word. So every day has a flow. Every week has a flow. And we look at, I look at harnessing their strengths. So I look at, okay, what time of day are, like, are you a morning person? Are you a night owl? You know, we look at that. Like, so what should your, to the amount that you can set up your schedule, like, what should mm-hmm. that look like?
Yeah.
And we look at just on a daily basis, hand, like, processing everything that they have to do. We spend time on really looking at their schedule and their calendar. So we look at, is it possible to time block, like task block certain things during the week? So you're not starting, stopping. Mm-hmm. Multitasking is a myth. There's actual like whole books written on that.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you just did that. Oh, that's, you just hit on one of my soapbox issues.
Yes. Yeah, so you want to avoid all those micro stops and starts that really come with trying to multitask.
Yeah.
So I look at that a lot in the beginning. How is your day and your week structured? And then usually it takes some tweaking, right? With people with ADD, there's also, so when people go through my process, the last step, which really isn't the last step, is sustaining your success. And I believe that sustaining your success consists of two things, maintenance and accountability. Mm-hmm. So you need both. So when you just said you had that file drawer that hadn't been looked at, and so that would mean, you know, no judgment, but there's no maintenance schedule for you of when I look at my files.
You'd be absolutely right. Yeah, that's uh-huh. Yeah.
So from the very beginning, I don't wait until we're done with the project. From the very beginning, let's say I have a very unique filing system, but let's say we put this finding system in place. And from the very beginning, I say, okay, when are you going to maintain this? Like, are you going to purge your files quarterly or yearly or when taxes, et cetera? And then the second component is accountability. So I have all my clients choose who their accountability partner is going to be. I have a few that it's me ongoing. I have a few that they get on Zoom or have someone over, like, you know, a friend, and that's when they clean their office or purge things or whatever. So you need to look at maintenance and accountability. So if you put something in place and let's say a week later, you realize, you know what, I didn't do any of this certain task, it mm-hmm. slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
Then that part of our maintenance would be like, okay, how often are we going to relook at all of those six things, your calendar, your contact management, mm-hmm. All those type of things. So it's a lot of checks and rechecks until we get that magic combination of what works for them. And sometimes it's simple. Like, I have one client right now, and she was just really having trouble because ADD is really an executive function issue, right? So planning and executing your tasks. And so she had real trouble looking at her calendar. We tried color coding. We tried reminders. Just nothing was really working, right? She was avoiding looking at her calendar, which is never a good thing. And things weren't getting on there. Things were getting missed. And so it took one simple tweak. All that she did was go from the block view for each task she checked all day and then wrote the time in. So let's say I would say, you know, podcast interview 11:30. Uh-huh. And instead of putting the block of time, she would check all day. And so all of her tasks for each day appeared at the top of her calendar and on her phone, just in a list.
Huh.
And
how cool.
That simple tweak changed everything. She was no longer anxious about looking at her calendar because it didn't look like these big ominous blocks of time. Yeah. It just looked like, okay, I have this at this time. And then I have this at this time. And so sometimes it's the simple, it's just the simple tweaks that make a huge difference.
Yeah. Oh, man. Carrie, that's amazing. You have given us so much great information today. I thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
This has been great. It's going to help me, and I think it's really going to help our audience as well. Thank you.
Good. I hope so. I hope everybody has some sort of takeaway.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. There are a zillion of them in this show. That's for sure. Carrie Thomas, you guys, if you'd like to get a hold of Carrie, tell us about your website and where we can find you, Carrie.
Sure. So my website is conquerthechaos.com. Another really good place to find me is I have a download of how to get unstuck, which a lot of people like, and a productivity quiz. You can go to cluttertoclaritysteps.com. So either one of those, the quiz and the download are also on my website, but going to Clutter to Clarity Steps makes it a little bit easier. So either one of those. I also have a Facebook group that I love, a very active community on Facebook at Less Clutter, More Peace.
Isn't that something we would all love to have? ConquerTheChaos.com. ConquerTheChaos.com. That's Carrie Thomas, and she can help you get organized and get yourself back in gear and get things going. Carrie, again, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it and look forward to maybe even having you back on later on where we can do some maintenance.
Definitely. I would love it. Thank you.
All right. We'll work on that. And in the meantime, everybody else out there, y'all, set aside an hour or two and take a look at yourself. Do some maintenance. Think about your organization and how you're planning your day and your time and your week. And go out and make it a great one. And until next time, I'll see you right here on The Business of Sales.